push the budget high enough to fund both of them. And so
we just have 30 seconds. If you could respond on China.
Yes. Well, China is the gift that keeps on giving. Exaggerating the threat from China is a way to fund these companies. I mean, it's basically Washington State, China. You know, that's another $1 billion for a weapons contract. In fact, we should have an accommodation with China, not be preparing for a war with China.
We're going to leave it there. And I want to thank you so much for joining us, Bill Hartung, senior research fellow at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. We'll link to your piece at Forbes. Does America really need a $1 trillion Pentagon budget? Special thanks to our local production crew here at Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana. I want to thank Elvin Cesario, Ben Caldwell, and Tegan Chandler. And special thanks to Corey Olenkamp, to Dean Kristen McAuliffe, and to Kim McClure, as well as Dennis Moynihan. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Werner, Trina Nadura, Sam Malkoff, Tamer Riasti, Joe John Hamilton, Ravi Karen, Hani Masood, Anjali Kamat, Safwat Nazal. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez in Chicago and here in Muncie, Indiana.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
The thrills continue here on KBOO as the Monday Sampler, starting April 14th at 2 p.m., will present throughout the rest of April episodes from The Lives of Harry Lime, starring Orson Welles.
This is a love story. But don't worry, there's action in it. Arab chieftains, international gangsters, and a buried treasure.
Tune in Mondays, starting April 14th and throughout the month at 2 p.m. as the Monday Sampler presents Orson Welles in The Lives of Harry Lime.
But essentially, this is a tale about one of the times I fell in love. I don't lie. I'm not the first man that happened to. Or the third man, either.
It's The Lives of Harry Lime, starring Orson Welles, starting April 14th at 2 p.m. on the Monday Sampler, right here on KBOO Portland.
Welcome to PDX, Progressive Talk Radio, where progressive dialogue meets local action. Every fourth Wednesday of the month, join us for insights and solutions on critical issues impacting Oregon. Let's create change together. We are PDX Progressive Talk Radio.
And good morning, everyone, here in beautiful Portland, Oregon. My name is Moses Ross, and you are listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio. Normally, on Wednesdays, we have, at this time, at 8 a.m., we have Wednesday Talk Radio. But we have the pleasure and the distinct honor of being able to be the substitute talk radio hosts, myself, Moses Ross, and Sherry Morish. Hello, Sherry. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Oh, fantastic. It's a beautiful day in Portland. Now, you know, one of the amazing things about talk radio is that it's up to others to talk. It's not about us going on pontificating about things. So I do want to encourage folks that are listening to call in. I'd like to hear your opinions on things because, boy, there has been some crazy things going on in this city, in this country, in this world of late. And I'd like to get your opinions on things. And this is your opportunity to share your thoughts on the craziness that's going on in these interesting times that we have right now. Give us a call, 503-231-8187 is the phone number that you can call in and give your opinion on things. Once again, this is PDX Progressive Talk Radio here on KBOO FM.FM at 90.7 on your FM dial. And it's 8:04 in the morning on a beautiful Wednesday morning here in Portland, Oregon. Sherry, there is... Where do we begin? Holy smokes. Do we want to talk about the tariffs, the crazy tariffs that our Fuhrer in chief has been implementing all across the United States?
Did you hear the latest, his proposed for China?
If I remember correctly, it's like 100% tariffs.
104. Yeah.
104.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Where does he come up with these numbers for the tariffs? From what I understand, they used AI to create this the tariff structure, and you know, so they ended up using one of the tariffing. They ended up identifying an island in Antarctica. with penguins on it, uninhabited island.
And he tariffed Madagascar. He's tariffing areas that and nations that we have little deficiency with. You know, our trades aren't aligned in a way where they owe us anything.
You know, this is turning out to become a cult of personality when it comes to the governance. This is, the Republicans are using this as their opportunity to be able to really distinguish themselves, if you will, from regular democracy. It's just so frustrating. It just blows me away. And I just want to encourage people to maintain faith. And I was encouraged very much so over the weekend when the hands-off protests in downtown Portland brought out almost 10,000 people into downtown Portland and across the United States, across the world, people in protest to all of this. And so, you know, there is a resistance, and we must make sure to maintain that resistance on very consistently here. And not get discouraged. We got to make sure that we don't get discouraged with all of this flood of propaganda and flood of information that is coming from the White House. Looks like we already have our first caller, which is fantastic. I didn't get your name, sir, but we're going to go ahead, or ma'am, but... Oh, it is a sir. Pardon me.
Hi. Sometimes I'm a little more ladylike than I am today.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am dangerously well. Thanks very much for taking my call. I was hoping to kick off an idea that has been distressing me for some time, and that is that somehow or another, the powers that be have decided that anti-Semitism is an excuse to do all kinds of nasty things, including disappearing people from our country and shutting down universities and so on and so forth. And the fact of the matter is that anti-Semitism is being misused as an excuse. I'd like you to come with me and take you back in your mind to 1977. It was a long time ago, and there are many people listening today who were not alive at that time. But in 1977, Menachem Begin, the leader of Israel, and Anwar el Sadat, the leader of Egypt, were brought together, essentially by Jimmy Carter at Camp David, and they came up with the accords that produced a lasting peace between Egypt and Israel. Mm-hmm. And as to anti-Semitism, I'd like to quote the late Anwar el Sadat, who was viciously murdered in an assassination as he was watching the troops go by. You may recall in 1981 when he was assassinated, December of that year. But prior to the Camp David Accords, Mr. Sadat said, "I cannot be called anti-Semitic, because I am Semitic. Now, look up Semite, S-E-M-I-T-E, in your dictionary, however you have one, whether it's in book form or as usual, the kids can go to their Google. A Semite is any of a number of people, including both Arabs and Jews. Mm. These are the Semitic people, mm-hmm. all of them. And for this government and this particular Caligula in the White House to use anti-Semitism as some kind of excuse to go after people, because you can be pro-Palestinian without being anti-Israel, and you can be pro-Israel without being anti-Palestinian, and peace is the goal. And when these powers use the word anti-Semitism and bandy it about, you remember Congress, Elaine Stefanik, absolutely grilling people about yes or no, and yes, you know, about the Harvard president and so forth. And I wanted to point out that Anwar Sadat himself acknowledged that he couldn't be anti-Semitic because he is. Semitic.
You know, you raise a really good point there. The fact that the labels are being thrown around without an understanding of what the labels actually mean. And it's this perception of, it's a red herring.
It's a disaster on the way to where we want to be, which is at peace.
Mm-hmm. Very.
Thank profound. You. I'll be listening, and thank you very, very much. And I hope you have a great day.
Thank you very much for sharing that with us. I appreciate that. You are listening to KBOO, and you're listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio. There we go. We're listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio, and this is your show. I'd love to hear from you. You're welcome to give us a call here at 503-231-8187. Give me your opinions on things. I'd like to hear what's on your mind on this Wednesday, this crisp Wednesday morning in Portland.
This is Santiago.
Oh, we have Santiago on the line. Hello, Santiago. Welcome to the show.
Oh, good morning. I wasn't expecting it to get to be that quickly. This weekend, I was a couple things I want to talk about are the protests this weekend. While it was encouraging to see millions of people out in the streets, it has come to light that Indivisible, while it does have local local leadership, it is essentially a Democrat-run organization, and the Democrats are really good at absorbing revolutionary fervor in the direction that people are wanting to go. People are looking for something that is different than the Democratic Party at this moment, at least people who are, people who were turned off by this last election. People are tired of the back and forth of this idea that we need, we have one party that is taking power and wielding it in the direction of big business, and then we have another party that's throwing its hands up and saying, what can we do? Mm-hmm. And it's and then the fact that like Cory Booker, who just did his 25-hour his 25-hour speech, only to turn around and vote alongside Republicans to vote in another conservative appointee and to send 35,000 more bombs to kill children in Gaza is disgusting. And there was another set of protests this weekend put on by Party for Socialism and Liberation that had pointed demands, specifically the ceasefire in Gaza now, and for the U.S. to pull all of its support. It didn't get a whole lot of coverage outside of a few channels on the internet. But we need to stop messing around with these Democrat run organizations, because they're not going to do anything except make us do more waiting around for incremental change.
I feel you on that. You know,
time for that.
I am curious, Santiago. What is the alternative? You know, we have the two established political parties, and one of them is an oligarchy, is highlighting oligarchies. And then we have the Democrats that are kind of running around trying to oppose it. What's our alternative?
Well, the alternative is people power. This is what I keep telling people. First of all, the Democrats, while they can talk about being anti-oligarchy, the fact is they are paid by a lot of the same people who are funding the Republicans. It's controlled opposition. But number two, what I tell people is, number one, you need to get involved with political organizations whose sole focus is talking about democracy for the people. These organizations out here who are part of the Democratic fold, they're about preserving the status quo, and this is not where we are. So I tell people Party for Socialism and Liberation, La Raza Unida, African People's Socialist Party, All African People's Revolutionary Party. I'm not going to tell you that you have to change your political affiliation. You know, if you want to still be a Democrat, whatever. But the thing is that we need to get our education from people who are not trying to preserve the status quo. We have blueprints for the alternatives. I mean, you know, we did it in the 1930s. We had communist parties, socialist parties. We had the IWW was active. A lot of it was based around labor, which is a lot of what I'm organizing for in the community, because labor is where all the value is and where the power is. And we need to take power from essentially both parties and put it back in the hands of the people. And
what do you think? I do have one last question for you. What do you think the role of organized labor is in this right now? I mean, is it in regards to the unions that are like here in Oregon right now?
Well, the role of organized labor right now is to be preaching the gospel that all labor has value, and that none of these businesses and none of these politicians would survive without it. We saw it during COVID. We had politicians who were conservatives who were calling for the dismantling of the unemployment pay. They were tamping down the unemployment pay, and then we saw like some milk to. I mean, Biden did a couple good things in terms of like giving more unemployment pay, but there was no real defense for it. He didn't follow up with anything. He didn't try to solidify anything. So it just threw up a pitch for the conservatives to hit. And you know, and both of these parties are fundamental. Labor funds both of these parties. We just don't understand that it does. So we need to keep in mind that labor runs things. Without people working, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, even Trump, all of these people with money would hemorrhage it. They would hemorrhage money in a moment. And so people need to recognize that labor is power, always, no matter what people tell you. And just one more thing to follow up on what Jeff says. If you are pro-Palestine, if you are pro-liberation of Palestine, then you are fundamentally against Israel, because not the Israeli people, because the people are not the state. But the state of Israel, just like the United States of America, is a colonial entity that exists on the bodies of black and brown folks. And so you can be pro the people, but the state apparatus is the problem. And so if you want the liberation of Palestine means that the diminishment or the getting rid of the Zionist state of Israel to something that is more akin to what existed before.
Well done. Santiago, I really appreciate your opinion. Thank you very much for calling in. You know, you're listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio here on KBOO FM 90.7 on your FM dial.
Did Santiago go?
Yes, he has. And I'm here with Sherry Morish. My name is Moses Ross. You're very welcome to call in Portland and listen and give us your opinion on things. There's so much happening right now. 503-231-8187.
You have John on the line.
I have John. John, hello, welcome. What's on your mind, sir?
Hi. Welcome to Wednesday morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh, I know. I'm kind of sad of Paul going, but anyway. I'm into political theater, and on a large scale. I know that we've had protests going on, and I think they should be going on for the next 1,500 days of this administration. I know.
It's how we make our point. It's how the public has to make its point. I have to agree with you.
Yeah. Well, you just have to, you know, just kick and scream like a two-year-old continually. But my whole thing is an upscale political theater would be the U.S. Congress. I don't care if it's in the Senate or the House of Representatives. And so what it should be, I don't know who would have the personal fortitude to do it. Since Zelensky has been kicked out of the White House, and we're part of BRICS now, technically, that some senator or House of Representatives should get up and say, ladies and gentlemen and my friends across the aisle, please stand for our national anthem. And then, of course, he'll dupe out the Republicans and then play the Russian anthem instead and have the balcony of the Capitol of just undrape Russian flags everywhere.
Powerful.
And then have at the commissary of the cafeteria or whatever, have borscht and chicken Kiev as the blue plate special.
You know, I tell you, I've always kind of felt that, you know, these public displays of indignance that we see is, when elected officials show up at these or, it's almost like it is political theater. And I've never been too keen on it in the sense that, it's almost a feel-good measure. And the real need is for us to actually get out there and vote. And the real need is for us to get out there and to educate our compatriots. And I just wonder the effectiveness of huge rallies in downtowns to affect change.
Well, I think if you look at the barometer, whatever, things are changing. I mean, there was a comment on one of the national newscasters when they went to some of these protests that they were very kind of saddened that the youth wasn't there. It was mostly, the old fogies.
I saw that. I did see that. And that surprised me.
Well, that's the youth don't understand what the future is about. We have come to the future, people who are over 50, 60, 70 years old. And some of these people have been influenced from their grandparents or their great grandparents what it was like before the New Deal.
Right.
Like, for instance, one of the big fatalities of people over 65 was hypothermia because they didn't have any money to heat their homes and they would freeze to death. Mm. Or there was starvation going on. It's like the way that some of these, hardcore people who are in there, if you don't work, you don't eat. Hmm. You see?
Mm-hmm.
That goal, that little thing is still hardcore and drilled into some people. They think that Social Security is welfare.
Well,
Or Medicare or Medicaid, So we've gone away to we're completely totalitarian and hyper-religious. It's like we're a religious cult.
Oof.
That's what I think the MAGA whole thing is it's a cult.
Oh, sure. It's a patriarchal, the fact that it's a very patriarchal system akin to the whole Christianity,
They're just trying to turn the clock back to not 2025, to 1825.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
I've even heard some people talk about trying to enforce Dred Scott. And, the women's right to vote. I mean, that's being entertained now.
Well, I have heard that also. And, certainly the trend lines are going towards that with the Republicans. I just feel that, and that's the challenge that I have reconciling these public displays of indignance, in downtown versus action steps that can prevent this from happening in the first place.
Well, we have, three and three-quarter years of this, and who knows if we're going to survive or not. I don't know.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
I mean, they're attacking, not just educational, but our legislative, lawyers and stuff like that. I mean, gosh, anybody, read Mein Kampf?
That's right. Oh, the irony is...
But anyway, it's just that we just continue, just to make some people who are undecided get their attention, and that's political theater.
Now, that I would agree with you. I think, it's not necessarily trying to convince as much as it is to make aware, to increase awareness.
Yeah, make aware. That's exactly right. The house is on fire. Huh?
It's like that meme I always think of,
anybody have a...
There's this meme on the internet where this cartoon dog is sitting in a house that's burning and says, everything is fine. Everything is fine. And it's the idea that, no, everything is not fine. And it does take these public displays of indignance to change minds, to convince people that something is wrong. Well, I mean, mm-hmm. Back in the 60s, you had people that would self-immolate. They set themselves on fire because out of principle, the pure principle of trying to bring attention to the inappropriateness of a policy.
Well, I think things are going to heat up this summer as the weather gets nice. There's going to be more activity out in the open.
I would have to agree with you, and I would hope that it is. I think, I would hope so, because we can't. We just can't roll over. Trump wants us to roll over. The Republicans want us to roll over and allow them to go ahead and implement these draconian policies of theirs, and we just can't. We must resist.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm 71, and I just never thought it would come to this, whatever.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, keep the faith, sir. Keep the faith.
Yeah, well, anyway, thank you for letting me talk.
Absolutely. You have a wonderful day today. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio. We're here substituting for the Wednesday Talk Radio show on KBOO FM, 90.7 on your FM dial. If you're driving to work today, please, if you're stuck in traffic, you're welcome to give us a call at 503-231-8187 and let us know what's on your mind. Hey, did you know that we are in the middle of a drive here in at KBOO during our All Thrills, No Frills Volume 4 special programming campaign that's going on now in April. And you can check out our special and more at kboo.fm, ATNF4. So welcome to, go ahead. We're not offering any kind of gifts or premiums for donations, but, we are the gift. Exactly. Good.
We are the gift. If it weren't for our very generous donors, shows like ours would not be on the air. We would not be able to give you, our devoted listeners, the type of content and information that you expect from the people at KBOO. So you have many ways to donate. If you'd like to, you can give online or find out more at kboo.fm/ATNF4. And check out the list of specials that we're having through the month of April in celebration of the All Thrills and No Frills Volume 4 fundraising campaign. And thank you so much for listening. You have a caller, Moses. His name is Tangent.
Ah, hello. Welcome.
Hey,
what's on your mind?
How are you? And just in honor of Paul, I thought we could unofficially call this Paul's Clubhouse. Paul's Talk. Because some of the same folks call, I like listening to Jeff and Mark and Santiago. I was going to bring up, because the last caller was mentioning we only have this many more days to suffer. That's not at all sure. The way this clown talks and gets away with bloody murder, basically, and worse. And it reminds me of a bumper sticker when Bush won. back in, you know, 2001, and it had like this, like a register at a gas pump, and it was like ticking off till 2004, okay, January 20. Okay, that didn't help. But here's what my point is. Somebody called in a couple weeks ago and said, well, we've got to get the Democrats back in power. Now, the Democrats were in power, I don't know if it was under Obama, many times they've had both houses. They didn't make permanent the 10-year assault weapons ban. They could have. A lot of things they didn't do. So I have no hope in that. I wanted to point out, I watch the History Channel sometimes, and I caught this, that George Bush II, when he was leaving office, held a little get-together for all the living presidents at that time. And so there was Bill Clinton yucking it up with Bush I, and Bush II yucking it up with Obama, and there was the peace president Carter off to the side about 6 feet away by himself.
I remember that.
But my point is that these two guys who are supposed to be enemy, hate each other, right? Complete opposite, are just, we sure got them fooled.
You know, it's funny, too. I remember that image of the all the presidents in the White House there in the Oval Office and Carter off to the side. And it really struck me because, you know, I always have admired Jimmy Carter very much so as a very principled man. And a very peaceful man. And, you know, and the challenge is that what's the alternative when it comes to the two-party system and making sure that we are empowered by our leadership in these parties, you know? And so therein lies the rub.
And like as the previous caller mentioned, street theater, I just do radio humor and, so I would go like a la Wayne's World, party on Republicans, party on Democrats.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's a party for them. They've got health care. They've got national health care. They've got cost of living increase. Hey, just as a personal note on Social Security, I get Social Security and have for about 5 years. And every year they send me, because when inflation goes up so much, all government workers, by the way, get this. They neglected to raise the minimum wage all these decades to keep up with inflation. But my point is that I got a letter in January saying, or December, saying that my, you know, cost of living, so I would be receiving $1,084 instead of $1,040, I think it was before, okay? Mm-hmm. And my first check in January came, it was $1,040. So I called up Social Security, and the message said, came on right away saying, oh, yeah, we've had many complaints about da-da-da-da. Don't worry, we're fixing it. Okay, so I gave them a few weeks. Next check came in, it's 1032. It's gone down. Okay. Mm. I go into the office, which you used to be able to go in my Beaverton office here, and in about an hour see somebody. Out of 15 windows, maybe 9 or 10 would be operating at one time. Okay. I went in. There was like three people working, and a message after about an hour came on saying that if you didn't have an appointment over the computer, it would take about 3 hours just to see somebody to get to set up a future appointment. So I hate the computer, but I did go, and my sister went on for me, and she went through, and she could not get through. So it's basically it's already shut down, and it was happening even before he took office.
It's going to be even getting worse here now. I was just listening on the radio on KBOO this morning on the way here that you know what they're planning on doing is that they are pushing to have force Social Security recipients to have to go in person. They're prohibiting you from getting your making the phone call. You have to do it in person or do it online.
Yeah, and you can't.
Right, I mean, exactly.
That's what they say. It's a lot like Israel's lies, like safe zones. There is none. But the news, even Democracy Now, keeps mentioning the so-called safe zones. They're just so lied is what they are.
Right.
But here, just for more fun, like, so as far as the Gulf of America, let's change the English Channel to the French Channel or the European Channel. It could be Mediterranean Sea. It could be the African Sea, couldn't it? I'm really not suggesting this. I'm just playing with this guy's idiocy.
Agreed.
And I was thinking about this Musk and whoever that guy he's after now, calling him a moron. This is like fifth, sixth grade playground talk. And the woman actually said, the spokeswoman said, boys will be boys.
Oh, I couldn't believe
when
that.
When is anybody going to grow up?
You know, we're talking about people's lives here, and they're accusing them of childhood, of you know, boys will be boys. That's just crazy. And, you know, who we're talking about is Peter Navarro, one of the consultants, who was in jail, who just recently got out of jail for his work and his for obstruction of justice.
That's right.
You know, so it speaks volumes as to the quality of the very fine people working for Trump, if you will. You know,
well, here's the thing about Trump. What? Okay, I'm scared to speak. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was just commenting that we're living through this once again.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, I don't think Obama was any better, okay? These are like,
we would have context to argue about that. He left office with 60% approval rating. Obama was one of, and will go down in history as one of the best presidents in a century.
Okay. Okay, we'll let you have that.
Well,
let's,
you know,
just wish for peace.
No, I hear you on that. I think, you know, your bigger point was that how do our leadership in the two major political parties, it's hard to discern between the two of them sometimes. Although Trump is making a very strong case for being for separating himself from his incompetence and his just cruelty. It just blows me away. I could never see Obama or Clinton being as cruel.
I think they did these things, but they weren't so open. They didn't brag about it. They simply did it behind closed doors, their dirty deals. But, and not Obama, but some Clinton too. Look, he just sold, you know, Detroit. NAFTA. What was NAFTA? I wrote a poem. Do we have to half American free trade, half American trade agreement? And now Trump is like just says, boom, it's gone. We're putting on tariffs. What was all that about? Right.
Right. You know, no. Agreed. Agreed. I have to. It's been a very challenging time, but I think that, you know, resistance is, you know, this, like I was saying with the last caller, you know, the political theater that comes with the protests, you know, agree with it or not, it does have an impact as far as affecting people's mindsets or bringing attention to the issue. I think humor also does, to your point, that humor also does, because humor and the mocking of, you know, is
parodying,
yes, is a very effective way of showing a contrast. And it really can, it kind of,
they hate being laughed at.
Right,
they
exactly.
hate being laughed at.
And so I'd like to, I wish we could see more of that, you know. I was listening to an article or reading an article about the Onion newspaper and how it started out as just a small paper in, a printed paper newspaper in Wisconsin, of all places. And the idea that it has grown to what it is now because of that need for contrast, that need for, you know, for mocking of our political elite. You know, it makes a lot of sense, and I wish that our leadership would do that, would resort to that more often. So
So the thing about what he's doing, he goes, like, he jumps five steps ahead, and then the court says, oh, you must come back one. But he still got ahead with like three or four. His stuff is so outlandish. If you listen to him, it's like, oh my God, I can't even get into it. It's so deep. The statements that he makes, okay, here, like how the European has been out to screw us. Mm-hmm. They formed a union to do what? Better compete?
Exactly.
You know, a union, like the United States is a union, right? State of the Union. Well, all right.
I sure appreciate your opinion. Enough. Yeah, well, thank you very much for calling in, sir. I really appreciate it. And we'll be here next Wednesday as well.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. We would have missed. Oh, and just for Santiago's sake, I won't say in defense of because he needs none, but someone, he actually let's see, how do you put this? I don't want to say chastised, but he mentioned that some people think that he may just have a lot of facts, but he has no answers. Well, I'll tell you what, you can't get an answer until you know all the facts.
Mm. Amen to that.
March on, Santiago. Peace.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate you. You know, you're listening to PDX Progressive Talk Radio here on KBOO FM at 90.7 on your FM dial. You're welcome to give us a call and share your opinion on things right now. 503-231-8187. What's on your mind? Where's the outrage? Is the outrage based on a national level? Is it based on a local level? Did you know that there was a recent poll, Sherry, that was done of Portland residents that 57% of them were having problems being able to afford groceries?
I'm not shocked. I would imagine it's probably more than that.
Yeah. It's a real indication of the challenges, the economic challenges that people here in Portland are having. And, you know, there's lots of reasons for that coming from a national level all the way down to city policy.
Right. But, exactly.
Yeah. The housing crisis. I mean, I was just, it's really tough. How do we as a society, how do we as residents of Portland deal with that? I mean, you know, what do we have to do, Sherry, to make sure that we can work through this to survive on a day-to-day basis?
Demand,
you know,
that Trump be impeached, taken out of that entire administration, be taken out, and we have a new election. Because there's enough evidence right now that something was wonky with this election. There's Greg Palast, as you know, I listen to quite often. He's got actual verifiable data that shows there were discrepancies and there were purges in states, in some of the key states, up to 63,000 voters, which that isn't a lot when you're talking millions. But right. In a single state where people are literally being purged from the rolls, even though they are valid American voters with IDs that had the ability to vote. And what happened during the 2020 election was that they were saying, the Republicans were saying, even though he won, or he didn't win in 2020, but the Republicans were saying that voters committed fraud because they, and the hilarious piece was, is the only proof that came out about that was from Republicans. Republicans were getting caught voting in dead people's names, like in five different instances, but they were using rolls with people with similar names. So the middle initial might be different. The date of birth might be different. Any commonality that they could find in these names, like Robert Smith. There are probably 20,000 Robert Smiths in the state of Oregon, right? And how many of those are you going to purge because they might live in the same vicinity? But they have the... Do you know, when my daughter was young, we lived up in Seattle. There was a girl who was born a year before my daughter, but had the same exact name. Everything else was the same. We even lived in the same area, but her birthday was a year before my daughter's.
That's amazing. You know, I was reading just yesterday about the purge of 60,000 votes in North Carolina. The
That's
debate in
67. That's what I was talking about.
The idea that these votes are being intentionally suppressed to sway a Supreme Court election that had already been pretty much decided, at least by the courts, you know, all the legal ramifications of it all. But They're it's all about the votes, the ballots themselves not being properly dated.
I heard about that one the other day. Yeah, definitely.
And
in Texas, in the most populous towns, like Houston and Austin, I believe it was, they closed down certain voting areas, certain voting locations.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have 2 million people go to one voting location.
Right.
It was just ridiculous.
I have friends that are in Asheville, North Carolina, and if that's a university town. And up until a few years ago, they had polling stations. You could vote on campus. And now what they have done is they've taken away all of the polling locations on the campus, and the students from the school, Appalachia State, they have to drive literally miles to the one polling station for their university.
Making
it more difficult, voter suppression.
And then they're calling bus souls to the polls that are done in Georgia and South Carolina and a lot of the southern states and states where a lot of people don't have transportation. They don't have access to close polling. They're trying to call those ballot harvesting.
Mm. You know, that's just amazing to me. I want to read something to you here real quick, and I'd like to get your thoughts. And if our listeners, I'd like to get your thoughts. You're welcome to call in at 503-231-8187. Democrat, this is an article about the Congresswoman Maxine Dexter, who took over for Earl Blumenauer here in the third district. Pardon me. She's saying, until the public opinion shifts away from supporting Donald Trump, we don't have a lot of action that we can take in a legislative manner. And she acknowledged that the Democratic Party doesn't have much ability to push back, but believes that some recent decisions by Trump are leading to some fissures in the GOP support. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. And it sounds like we have a caller.
We do have a call, but before we go any further, I need to make a correction when I said earlier that the KBOO All Thrills, No Frills Volume 4 was a fundraising campaign. It is not. It is an opportunity for our listeners to explore special programming. That's why we need you to go to kboo.fm/A TNF4 and check out all the specials that are on that page. They've either already been recorded so you can listen to them online, or they're scheduled to be recorded or aired on live on the air throughout April. So I just wanted to make that correction. This is not a fundraiser. It's a celebration of our very diverse programming. Yes, you do have a caller. His name is Mark.
Mark, hello. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind, sir?
Good morning. We're living in a transition time when our country has lost its dominance, its hegemony, because of our irrationality and our greed. We are isolating ourselves when we don't treat other countries with respect. When we call Canada a nasty country, when we say we don't need anything from Canada, then we isolate ourselves. I saw a sign at the demonstration that said that the only minority that threatens us is billionaires. I think that's a very important perspective. I think speculation might be a form of violence. And little by little, the financial markets have made themselves independent and taken resources from the real economy.
Right.
So I feel very strongly that massive state investment is absolutely necessary for affordable apartments. That without that massive investment, private developers cannot build affordable apartments, and that should be a real priority. It's a matter of security. If the people can't afford their their housing, then the society is on the brink of collapse. Mm-hmm. So that's my 2 cents.
No, it makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. Your 2 cents, and I think that, you know, the challenge is right now is that we have a federal government under Trump that is cutting all of those federal supports for affordable housing in the states away.
Yes.
and putting the pressure on state and local budgets to supplement.
Yes, it's absolutely perverse that the number of HUD workers should be cut from 8,800 to 4,000, that judges, journalists, and protesters are threatened. I mean, we have to be people of hope, and we can't be negative, and so we have to be demanding freedom of speech and the taxation of the super rich.
Hmm. I have to. I agree with you 110%, and I think that the challenge is, you know, for the next 3.5 years, we're not going to be able to see the leader. We're not going to see that happening on a federal level unless we affect change and we vote in majorities, Democratic Party majorities, into the House and into the Senate. And I don't think it's going to happen in the Senate. It may happen in the House. And either way, it's not going to stop them from making these cuts.
Well, the Republicans have a very narrow majority right now. Mm-hmm. It might be around 217 to 214.
Yes.
So the Trump has never had a mandate. He is a pathological liar, and so he will say, again and again, that every country is ripping us off. Actually, we are the richest country in history, and Europe and Japan have also prospered immensely. Countries like South Korea. Now, putting a tariff on everyone is a way of destroying the global economy. And so Trump has ignored the CEOs who are demanding a moderation. I think he's going to be forced by reality to respect other countries. A trade deficit isn't totally negative. It's not a defeat. People enjoy inexpensive goods, inexpensive smartphones, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So he is just isolating himself.
Right.
Thanks very much for your program.
Well, thank you for your comments and your opinion. And we'll be here next Wednesday as well. I hope you can listen in.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome to call into PDX Progressive Talk Radio. We're about the last 10 minutes of our show tonight, this morning, at 503-231-8187. You know, Sherry, it just blows me away the audacity of our president in chief to take which obviously is not a mandate. It's not the vast majority of public opinion approval for his actions with the tariff, but he doesn't care.
No, he don't care.
He acts like a dictator.
He doesn't care what the judges say.
No.
The judges have blocked him on different decisions, especially where the migrants are concerned. Mm-hmm. And, don't care, do it anyway.
Well, and that's an intentional strategy, too.
It is.
It's the idea...
It's called authoritarianism.
Right. And that authoritarianism approach... It's kind of a test to see what the guardrails, to see if those guardrails that supposedly our Constitution has enacted, has created, are working or not, and if he can be pushing those.
Right.
And it just saddens me to see those guardrails made out of rubber versus made out of metal. You know,
people. But wasn't that the design, really? And they did have, as primitive as we believe their era was. It was a bit advanced. I've been surprised at a lot of the thought processes that many of the authors of the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence had taken into consideration. These were world travelers. These guys, you know, they understood what was happening in the world, and they tried to set up provisions to keep us from falling into bad hands, basically. But they left enough flexibility and vagueness in some of the mandates that we have AOC in, you know, as a representative in the House. We have Jasmine Crockett as a representative in the House. We have women running for presidents. We've had a woman speaker. I'm still waiting for some significant people in Senate. Klobuchar is a good one. We have women taking on important positions within the nation and in our federal government. And so while it seems like the president is taking on way too much power, there are guardrails that are in place, but yes, they do seem a little wobbly right now.
Well, you know, and I think that was one of the appeals for Senator Booker's recent 25-hour quote filibuster that he did, you know, his on the Senate floor, was to try to bring attention to this strongly enough and publicly enough where the resistance has some sort of a focus point. There certainly has not been leaders. We certainly haven't had leaders that have been able to step up and break through the Trump media shell, if you will. Looks like we have another caller. Is that correct? I'm sorry. Hi, welcome to the call. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Good morning. There's a couple of things going on. I didn't hear your whole show, and I'm sorry about that. And welcome into the driver's seat, at least temporarily.
Thank you.
The big thing about Trump in general and him as a leader is that he has no mandate, but he has such a giant ego that it doesn't matter. And the fact that things are likely to be terrible for the common man for perhaps the next four, but maybe much longer year period doesn't bother him. He's not a super wealthy person, although he tries to project that, but he's in the thrall of many very wealthy persons and entities. The Russians have been supporting him for quite a long time. And if he can deliver, which he's doing, he deliver a big tax break to the ultra rich, then they're going to take care of him. He's going to prosper. And he's expressed his disdain for normal folks or folks who are having common experiences. You know, I don't like military people who have been captured. I like the ones that have never been captured.
Right.
And making fun of the handicapped. And, I mean, everybody knows all of that stuff. But the 2025 booklet that they generated and the action plan that the Uber Republicans generated puts him in the position of unitary executive and says, nobody in government can tell me what to do. Anything I do is okay and legal, and that if you don't like it, okay, but if you make too much noise, I'll put you in jail. And so that's kind of where we're at. Yeah. I think people on the ground have to do what they can to make and build community, because things are going to get tough and things are going to get expensive. You know, it's time to think on the ground about, you know, where can you buy stuff that's more direct versus, you know, supporting mega corporations. Stuff that's previously owned doesn't have a tariff, even if it comes from offshore. So, you know, if you need a a small appliance, or if you need decor stuff, it might be worth looking at the secondary market and
right.
to encourage that. You know, if you have things that you don't need, make them available to your neighbors, your associates, and
very good point.
A little bit, but you get the idea.
There are resource pages on Facebook and Blue Sky and stuff where people can go to see what others are either giving away or have at less cost.
Good. Yes, I play on Facebook a bit, but that's a double-edged sword because we're supporting the uber rich Amazon, you know, the uber rich there. So I just want people to be aware that you don't need to live in fear and terror, but you do need to explore your options and try and expand the ones that are person to person and local and actually have a meaningful interplay versus, you know, sucking up to big corporations or letting them control your news feed and your buying habits and then use that information to profit off of your existence.
It's about building up your local community and shopping with independent retailers. And that's the biggest advice I would give people having problems during this time. We are running short on time. So, Barth, thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you very much for calling in. Appreciate you. You know, you've been listening today to PDX Progressive Talk Radio. We are substituting for regular Wednesday Talk Radio. We'll be here next week as well. My name is Moses Ross. I'm here with Sherry Morish, and I want to thank you very much, Sherry, for being here and helping facilitate this today.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. And to, of course, our listeners. You know, it's all about you, and it's all about our local communities, and you have, we'll see you next week, for sure. And this is Moses Ross, signing off.
And Sherry Meredith, Morish, have a great day.
To the ends of the earth.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM, Portland. Yeah!